Changed by Love is the teaching ministry of Pastor Jim Kevney of Calvary Chapel Morris Hills in Morris County, New Jersey. Pastor Jim's desire is to teach the Word of God with passion and simplicity, as well as a direct application to our daily lives. As you know, difficulty and hardship are part of life in this world. However, it is essential to know that the Lord wants to empower and encourage your faith even in difficult times. That includes times when you're suffering, unsure, and afraid. During such times, the Lord wants you to stand firm, endure, and actively press on in your faith. One word we use to describe this is to persevere. In such times, God helps us to continue moving forward in our faith, even when the future does not look good. Let's join Pastor Jim in James chapter 5 for part one of his message, "The Lord is Coming, Persevere."
Well, James has been talking with us last week and now into this week about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose from the dead, ascended into heaven. He's now seated at the right hand of God and will return. And last week, James told us, while we're waiting, to be patient. Be patient. My wife always says, never pray for patience because God might try and give it to you. But there's an old expression. We'll see how you like it. It goes like this. Patience is a virtue. Seize it if you can. Seldom found in a woman. The women are like, oh, no, no, no. And never found in a man. So patience is a very, very difficult thing. It's not easy for us. It's, in fact, just thinking about patience, it sounds very, very passive to us. Yet James, as we talked about last week, seems to be advocating an active patience. In other words, while we are waiting for God, while we are waiting for Jesus to return, we are to hold on tightly to our faith. We are not to retreat, even if we are suffering, if we are unsure, or if we are afraid. Now, there are many words we could use to describe this next phase that we're going into. We could say that we are to endure. We could say that we are to stand firm. We could say that we are to press on. But tonight, we're really going to try and focus on the word persevere. Persevere. To persevere is to, for us as followers of Jesus, if you're not a follower of Jesus, we're glad that you're with us here tonight, but to persevere is to determine internally to resolve to continue on the right course until the end, until we either meet Jesus through death or through second coming, despite the difficulty. So I looked up in the dictionary what the dictionary says for persevere, and it says to continue in a course of action, even in the face of difficulty. So that I kind of get, or with little or no prospect of success. Well, if James read that, he would say that was clearly written by someone who does not have the hope of the second coming. That is clearly written by someone who does not have the hope of Jesus Christ, because we do have a prospect of success. And so the title of our message tonight is, "The Lord is Coming, Persevere." Now, I want us to keep a verse in the back of our mind all night tonight. It goes all the way back to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 12 says this, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation." For, or a lot of times for in the Bible, you could substitute the word because, for or because when he has been approved. What does that mean? Well, some of your versions say when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So last week, when we were talking about patience, James exposed a real weakness in the church. And let's just go back to James 5:9, which we covered last week. He said, "Do not grumble against one another." I love that word grumble. It's one of those words, if you just say it over and over again, it grumble, 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 grumble. It's like the word murmur, 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 murmur. It just sounds like what it is. He says, "Do not grumble against one another, brethren." So he's talking to the people in the churches that he's writing to, "lest you be condemned," or "lest you be judged. Behold, Where's the judge? Is the judge far away? No, the judge is standing at the door. So James sets the goal out before us. The goal is to persevere despite difficult circumstances, to stay on the right course and maintain the right course all the way to the end. And to help us, what he does tonight is he gives us some examples. He gives us some visuals to not only say, this is what these people did, but to motivate us by grace to follow in their footsteps. So he says, verse 10, my brethren, take the prophets, and talking about the Old Testament prophets, who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. So last week, he talked about the patient farmer. Remember, they plant the seed, then they wait for the early rains, and then they tend the land, and then they wait for the late rains, and then there's the harvest. So he moves from the patient farmer, and now he actually moves to real people, to people who persevered in tremendous difficulty. So in the prophets, instead of grumbling about life, they continued in the faith. And how did they do it? He tells us how they did it right here. He says, they spoke in the name of the Lord. And the word example in the scriptures is very, very important. It can be an ungodly example. And when we see ungodly examples in the scriptures, we don't want to do that. I said when we studied 1 and 2 Kings, it's really a very easy book to teach. You read what one guy does and you're like, I don't think we should do that. And then you read what another guy does and you're like, oh, that's good. We'll do that. So you have the ungodly examples that we should avoid and the godly examples that we should imitate. So the prophets, despite the suffering they experienced, despite the persecution they experienced, still sought to proclaim the word of the Lord, still sought to proclaim the glory of God. Now, it's interesting when you hear people talk about our country. And if you're watching from another country, sorry, this is what they say about our country. They'll say that every once in a while you hear someone say, this is a Christian nation, or this used to be a Christian nation. But people suffering from their faith, for their faith, has been really all throughout the history of our nation. And admittedly, it's worse now than it was even 10 years ago. And who knows what the next 10 years is going to bring. And Israel was supposed to be Yahweh's nation, yet the prophets routinely suffered at the hands of the Israelites. And the reason they suffered at the hands of the Israelites was because they told them what God said. And a lot of times what God said was, I'm going to call you out on your sin. I'm going to call you out to stop living the way that you're living. And so we think of just a few examples of prophets who suffered. There's so many, but I just thought of a few quickly. I thought of Elijah. I thought of Isaiah. I thought of Ezekiel. I thought of Daniel and so many, many more. But perhaps none so much as Jeremiah. That is a guy who really, really suffered. And again, they suffered at the hands of the people who said they were the people of God. It's funny that, you know, in the New Testament, people, some of the people were like, oh, well, we wouldn't have been those guys. We wouldn't have persecuted them. And the Lord's like, yeah, you would have. You would have. And so the same is true today. It's a great way if you're a pastor, if you want to suffer persecution, if you want to have people leave your church, just talk about sin. Just talk about judgment. And people will leave. Why? You say, why would they leave? You know, sometimes if people will say to me, oh, Pastor Jim, today's message was very, very convicting. And I will always say this to them, was I mean? And they'll, I guess they're being nice. They usually say, no, you weren't being mean. That's fine. If I'm delivering the message that God had it delivered, I don't want to deliver it in a mean fashion. And so, you know, most people who come to church, well, I don't know if it's true to say this anymore. You could say this years ago, would say that they want the word of the Lord. But can I be honest? They really don't. It seems most people now who come to church or watch church online, if you certainly listen to the most, you know, popular preachers, they want life to be easier. They want life to be the way they want it to be. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah said this, Isaiah 30, verse 10. He said, "Who say to the seers," say to the prophets, "do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things." Don't tell us the truth. Whatever you do, don't tell us the truth. Speak to us smooth things. Speak to us easy things. Some versions say, speak to us pleasant things. Another version says, speak to us flattering things. Tell us how wonderful we are. Don't tell us that we're sinners. Prophesy deceits. Another version says, prophesy to us. Tell us illusions. Basically, would you just lie to us? Don't tell us what God says. Tell us what we want to hear. And I've had people say to me, I don't really want to go to church to hear what God has to say. I know they say that. You're like, come on now. I've had people say to me, well, I'm Christian, but I don't believe the Bible. I do it like a Kramer on them. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? You're Christian, but you don't believe the Bible? A lot of people will say to you, and they're perfectly upfront and honest about it, I want to go to church to hear what I want to hear, not what God has to say in his word. And it's hard to get people to admit it. They have other kinds of reasons, but if they don't like a pastor telling them the truth, they'll leave. They'll, for some reason, you know, the guy in the parking lot looked at me cross-eyed, or I didn't like the coffee, or I didn't like the seat that I got, or, you know, something was wrong. I didn't like this, or I didn't like that. But actually, what a lot of people do is the scripture tells us they go to places where people will tickle their ears. Kind of like being a little kid, tickle, 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 tickle. And I hear what I like to hear. I hear smooth things. James is teaching us that speaking the truth, we are to speak the truth in love, the Apostle Paul told us, but speaking the truth, doing God's will often lead to suffering and criticism from those around you, even those who call themselves Christian. Yet God calls us all to represent him well, not to back away, not to be a jerk, but not to back away, but to persevere, to stand firm and wait for the time when he himself will intervene, maybe sooner rather than later, or maybe it will be at the second coming. You know, it's interesting, the prophets, they're very interesting to study, and we're in them for a while, and we'll be going back to them maybe in a few months. But at times, the prophets were in people's faces with the anger of the Lord. Other times, they were pleading with them, please listen. But it's very important to remember that James 1:20, if you remember, said this, "For the wrath or the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." And so when the prophets spoke, it was, if they spoke with anger, it was the anger of God. It was not the anger of man. Now, sometimes we talk about having righteous anger. And this is something I would caution you to be very, very careful about. There are certain times, I think, when we should have righteous anger. We hear about some terrible thing that happens or some sin that committed, and And it just, our blood is boiling, and we're just so angry that that would happen. The scripture says, be angry, but do not sin. But then sometimes you'll hear people say, well, somebody did this to me, and I have such incredible righteous anger. Be very careful about that one. That might just mean you're angry. It might not be the anger of God. I find that personally when I'm angry about something that has happened to myself, it's rarely, if ever, righteous anger. But when it is towards other people, then I'm more prone to experience the righteous anger of God. You know, it's an interesting study in the prophets to see how they stood up to sin and any injustices that happened to people. The prophets, I love those guys, they would even stand up to kings. They would even stand up to nations. I was just reading this morning about John the Baptist, who was the greatest of all the prophets, Jesus said, and he said to King Herod, hey, you got your brother's wife, and that's wrong, and he lost his head for it. And so you got to really admire those guys. And while the prophets did speak out against sin, it's important to remember the way they did it. And this is something I think in our current political environment, we want to have a prophetic ministry for sure. We want to speak the truth. We want to call out things that are wrong when they are clearly wrong and disagree with the word of God. But the prophets in general took the middle road between pacifism and violence. They were not like, well, we just kind of hope that people get it. Nope, they weren't like that. But they weren't inviting people to violence. Even when they would speak against kings, they would stop short of calling people to violence and to revolution. What did they do? They did something that I think that we need to do. They called people to the ways of the Lord. Now, you say, well, so what if they just do good stuff? I mean, obviously doing good stuff is better than doing bad stuff. But when we call people to the ways of the Lord, we're also calling them to the Lord. And we often see, we should see, hopefully in time we will see, how we fall short. The scripture says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so the prophets for us represent a great example of calling people to the ways of the Lord as we anticipate, and calling ourselves to the ways of the Lord as we anticipate the second coming. This could be said of so many of the prophets. As they spoke, it was obvious who the phony people of God were. And the leaders who ignored them were phony too, as well as those who criticized them. Yet, in the prophets, we see a group of men who endured the hostility and criticism of people with great perseverance. In other words, people persecuted them, people criticized them, people mocked them, yet they continued to speak the truth of the word of God. They didn't let that stop them. Oh, they would have their moments, like all of us, we have our moments, but their general direction was to continue to produce, you know, great messages according to the word of God. Yet, and I know you get sick of me saying this, but until I get sick of saying it, I probably haven't said it enough. And I want you listening for it. Today's preaching has virtually no prophetic edge to it. I was listening to this guy today. I don't know why I was doing this. I'm like, why do I punish myself with this? And, you know, 200,000 people had listened to this sermon according to the count on YouTube. What a bunch of gobbledygook. I mean, really, it was just stuff. It wasn't really much of anything. And I wonder if the Lord is just sitting there going, that is such empty preaching. It wasn't about God at all. It was really just about you and what you could do and realizing your potential and all of this other stuff. Well, you might say, why is it like this? Well, the New Testament tells us that men are lovers of themselves, that we are self-centered, that we are selfish. It also says that many people have a form of godliness, yet there's no power. There's nothing about them. That's why we read, if you read the Christian news, about all these different Christian leaders that are quite famous, and they appear to have a form of godliness, and then we hear the way they're living when no one else is around. Why? Because they have a form of godliness, but there's no power. There's no power in their lives. You know, it's easy to see if you know what you're looking for. And that might sound terribly judgmental, so let me add a second thing. It's easy to see if you've seen it in yourself. If you've seen that you can be such a lover of yourself, if you've seen that you can be so self-centered, if you've seen that you can be so selfish, if you've seen that you can have a form of godliness, you can be one way in church and you can be one way outside. There's no power. It's easy to see. You know, sometimes people catch you off guard, but other times, you know, something happens to someone and people walk up to you and they go, I saw that guy years ago. Or how could they not know that was an angry man? Or that guy was a creep. Everybody knew he was a creep. Or that guy was lazy. Come on, how could you not know that? And this kind of stuff is epidemic in what we call the Western church, especially the church in America. Why is that? Well, there's a lot of different reasons. Obviously, the core thing is sin that dwells within us. But we're marketed to get what we deserve. You ever hear those commercials that say, you know, come here and get the blank you deserve or get the something you deserve? I'm always like, horrible. I blame it all on McDonald's. They started many, many years ago. You deserve a break today, right? And so, but you know, sometimes if somebody asks you how you're doing, maybe you should say to them, better than I deserve, because we're all doing better than we deserve. And when we talk to people about what they deserve, what does it really do to us? It produces entitlement to us, in us. We think that we deserve this, and so we feel entitled to it. And the church even convinces us of it. Oh, you deserve this, or you have these God-given rights, or you're entitled to this. God wants you to have this. And it's a terrible way to live. And now popular in the church is what I like to refer to as successful Christian living, teaching you how to live successfully. I'm all for success. I'm all for it. But I'm much for living for Jesus, not for individual, my life and my success. But when we talk about successful Christian living, that leads a lot of people to believe that life can be, and it can be, or it should always be, easy and comfortable. Just do this, just do that, and your life will be easy and will be comfortable. And then a lot of people come in the front door because of the church because they want to hear it, but then just as quick as a lot of them are coming in the front door, where are they leaving? They're leaving out the back door because it didn't work for them. And when you try to talk to them about the good news, they're like, I tried it already. Didn't work for me. Didn't happen for me. Because as we said Sunday, God keeps his promises that he makes, not the ones that he doesn't make. Yet the Bible, to be honest, points to various types of suffering as a normal part of living.
Thank you for spending the last half hour with Changed by Love with Pastor Jim Kevney of Calvary Chapel Morris Hills in Morris County, New Jersey. Changed by Love is designed to help you deepen your relationship with Christ, no matter where you are in your journey. Teaming with Changed by Love financially makes it possible to reach thousands, many more than you and I could reach on our own. We are stronger together than we could ever be apart. Please consider a generous gift today. Give safely and securely online at changedbyloveradio.org. You'll find our address there too if you'd rather send a check. You can always reach us by phone at 862-217-9686. It takes a team to encourage thousands. You and Changed by Love with Pastor Jim Kevney. changedbyloveradio.org.